hide away. Don't you fade away to the morning light. I'm gonna run away, midnight hide away. Don't you fade away to the morning light. See you from my window in the shadows of the night. You're standing on the street, on the beat of better days. I'm gonna run away, midnight.
Molly. Free. We were born to mothers who smoked and drank. Our cribs were covered in lead-based paint. No child-proof lids, no seatbelts in cars. Rode bikes with no helmets, and still here we are. Still here we are. We got daddy's belt when we misbehaved. Had three TV channels you got up to change. No video games and no satellite. All we had were friends and they were outside. Playing outside. Of allegiance, then someone would pray. Not every kid made the team when they tried. We got disappointed, and that was alright. We turned out alright. It was a different life.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 6th day of November, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is The Journey Home. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, Cymru, Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and that's all together with no spaces, pastordan.net. We do draw your attention to the Daily Mail page on that website, because that's where we put the latest information as far as prepping, research for true history, historicity, if you will, health information, and obviously current events. There's another page on the website called Home. That's where you'll find information if you care to help us out with a donation. And there's another page entitled Contact Us, where you will find information about sending me a message if you do not already have the contact information for me. During the broadcast, I do not have any kind of a texting or blog open, so you can email a comment to me at bydpastordan@yahoo.com. And BYD is Bravo Yankee Delta, which stands for By Yahweh's Design. And all of that is together with no spaces as well. bydpastordan@yahoo.com. And I don't keep my eye on it continually, but I do check it frequently. A couple real quick quotes for you here, always because we have to say them often, because so many people have short memories, especially today. Things are completely out of sorts, and we're going to talk about that. But Richard Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model. Are you paying attention? Build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And I pray that everybody listening has enough vocabulary that the words used in this quote are understandable. In this day and age, for instance, you can download WordWeb onto your hard drive. You could probably find it for your phone as well. And WordWeb doesn't have like Webster's Encyclopedic Dictionary definitions. It's got more down-to-earth definitions, but the ones that I've checked are pretty accurate. But the nice thing about WordWeb is you can put your cursor over a word on something you're reading, let's say in your email, or you're writing a letter to somebody, and you right-click on it, and it opens up WordWeb to that word. And there's two nice things about that. You very quickly get a much closer to dictionary definition of the word, but it also has a little icon there where it will pronounce the word for you. Plus, they have the phonetics there that show if there's two or three pronunciations, the acceptable two or three. And a lot of people say, well, why is there two or three acceptable pronunciations? It's because so many of our words come from other languages, just like Caribbean or Caribbean. Which one is it? Where I grew up, the word for water, W-A-T-E-R, they pronounced it water. And when I moved to New Jersey, it was water. Water, water. Same word, same America, only about 200 miles between the two locations, and yet completely different pronunciations. That's why I tell people, if you get hung up on pronunciations, for instance, our father's name, that's your problem. That's not my problem. It's nobody in the audience's problem. That's your problem. Okay? Because so many, like, machinations or machinations. Okay? There's a lot of words where we have more than one pronunciation, and they're acceptable. And most people, when you use it, because of the context that you're using it in, they'll figure out which one you mean. So don't get hung up on, well, that you didn't pronounce it right. Well, guess what? None of us get it 100% right. The main thing about language is the science of conveying thoughts to another person. And what am I saying? Well, because in our brains, we formulate ideas. But that's in our brain. How do you convey what's going on in your mind when you've got, say, 55 years of experience walking this earth? So you have 55 years of data scrolling around inside your noggin, in your brain, and so you make a statement based on your life's experience. Well, the other person's got 55 years of walking the earth with a totally different set of parameters, a totally different set of data. So they're going to hear your words and interpret it with those life's experiences affecting how they interpret what you just said. So the beauty or the science of language is using the proper words in the proper context so that your thought actually and accurately is transferred to the person hearing you. So that means both people have a responsibility. You as the speaker should take into account the person you're talking to. Are you talking to a 5-year-old with very limited experience? Or are you talking to a 75-year-old senior citizen, an elder, who has a lifetime of experience? So you should coach your words based on the person you're talking to, and then the person talking to also has the responsibility to look at the person speaking and try to put yourself in their shoes. Where have we heard that before? Walk in the other person's shoes. Oh, well, that's right. It's in the Bible. It's also common sense. Put yourself in the other person's shoes so that you can better understand what they might be trying to convey to you. It's an inexact science, and we all know that. How many times have we talked to even family members or to lovers and find out that they just heard you say something, and because of what they said back to you, they completely missed your point? Tell me you haven't had that happen. Okay, it's happened to us many, many times. That should tell both people that we have to do a better job of interpreting what we're being told by the other people. I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with people, and this is, again, after 23 years on the radio, plus another decade of personal appearances at gatherings and feast days, etc. After all of that talking, I still have people contact me and say things. It's like, did you hear anything I said? Why would you ascribe to me a philosophy of either theocracy or life in general after 35 or 40 years of me pontificating constantly on what my research has turned up, and yet people still will talk to me as if I'm going to go the way of man, or that I don't properly understand something? Excuse me? I think it's very clear. In fact, I wrote down one quote for today. We got a lot to cover today, by the way. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. But Peter and the apostles answered. So it wasn't just Peter, it was the apostles as well. We must obey Yahweh God rather than men. Whoa, wait a minute. What's the church teaching today? What's the prostitutes in the pulpits saying today? Oh, well, the book of Romans chapter 13 says that we're to obey the authorities. Well, yeah, if you take it completely out of context and you only read a portion of Romans 13, you might get that idea. But these prostitutes, these whores behind the pulpits, have led the sheep astray, because these same whores almost never go to the book of Acts chapter 5 and read what Peter and the apostles said, which is very clear. And so is Romans 13 if you read it in the proper context and the entire verse and the verses before and after it. It is quite clear that the only authorities that we give our allegiance to are godly authorities. Hello? Hello? Are you awake? The only authorities you give your allegiance, obedience, tax money to are godly authorities. Hello? How much different would the world be if the men and women who call themselves believers of the God of the Bible, how much different would it be if we actually practiced what we preached? If we actually practiced what the apostles and Yeshua said when he walked this earth? If we actually practiced what the prophets that Yeshua quoted often? If we actually practiced it rather than giving it lip service, rather than being the lukewarm little zombified soy boys and girls sitting in the pulpits week after week thinking you are doing service to the King of Kings when in fact you are betraying him and the congregation. And these false preachers, these lying prostitutes, are condemned in the scriptures, mightily condemned for setting the sheep up for the slaughter. Those are the days that we live in. So we have this the journey home. Let me tell you how that happened. Many days I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. Clear up until the morning I get up. And I hope everybody remembered to set their clocks back. But many times I'm not sure until maybe that morning while I'm laying in bed and just talking to the Father and letting things kind of course through my mind. And sometimes I'll get in and I'll look at my Telegram messages or my email. And that's what happened today. Two brothers, one up in Canada, sent me an email. And actually, both of these gentlemen are in Canada, our brethren to the north. And he said there was a video was made based on an email that I had sent out. And it was a song. Well, I shouldn't say a song. It was a email notice called The Journey Home, and he made a video. And we're going to play it here in a little bit. The audio portion of it, we're going to play it. But it goes to show how when we put forth Yahweh's truths, that Yahweh will see to it that it permeates out through society. And for those ears that are meant to hear it and to understand it, it will resonate with them. And that's what the gentleman that made this said, that every now and then some of the emails I send really resonate. And it caused him to make this beautiful, very short video of the journey home. Because that's what we're on, a journey to get home. This is not our home. We are on the journey to reach our home, our final destination. A lot of people don't seem to understand that, but that is what's going on. We're being tested, so to speak, right now. Many are failing the test, by the way. It's sad to say, but many are failing it. Revelation 18:4, before we get into the other topic, and another voice from heaven came to my ears saying, come out of her, my people, so that you have no part in her sins and in her punishments. You know, for instance, this verse is referring to all you medical people that went along with this scam. You're going to suffer in the punishments for what you did. You know that, right? All you media people that went along with this murderous scam and the covering up of the human trafficking and pedophilia going on, you'll pay a price for your acquiescence and obfuscation of the truth. You will pay a price. Exactly as it says here in Revelation. Sin is transgression of God's law. God's law tells us to be truthful, to be honest, to seek justice in the world. And today's world is completely the opposite. So those who are going along to get along, yeah, for right now, it appears you're doing okay. Most of you, because you're going along with the beast. The day will come, though, when the beast himself will turn on you and rend you, because the beast doesn't care about anybody. The beast doesn't even care about itself. The beast exists to overturn this world, to take this world in a direction completely the opposite of what our Father wants. That's the test. Where's my children? Where are my children doing what I told them to do when I put Adam, the white man, upon this earth and gave him the commission to tend my garden? Where are they? What are they doing? The answer is very little. Will I find faith upon the earth when I return? Sadly, not much. Not much at all. Oh, there's lots of lip service. There's lots of buildings we call churches, cathedrals, etc. Oh, they're beautiful, beautiful. What goes on inside them? Nothing of value. Let me repeat, nothing of value. Whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. That's what's inside them. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This one should be memorized pretty much. If my people on whom my name is named, or call upon my name, make themselves low, or you could say humble, and come to me in prayer, searching for me and turning from their evil ways. Do you see the conditional there? If, all those ifs go together. It's an and statement, not an or statement. For you people that do Boolean logic, etc., you know what I'm talking about. This is an if statement, and the conjunctions are all an and, which means all of these conditions have to be true for the answer to be positive. So, if my people, first of all, are you part of his people? Second of all, are you calling upon his name, or are you calling upon some entity like Baal or God? Make themselves humble, okay, another condition. Come to me in prayer. Are they praying? Most aren't. Searching for me or seeking my face. Not too many doing that either. Oh, and here is the last one, turning from their wicked or evil ways. All of the above must be checked off as positive, meaning you're doing them. All of those must be true. And then we get the then statement. I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their transgressions of my law, some call it sin, and will give life again to their land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Read it. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Basically, what's that saying? Biblically, it's telling you what? Woe to those who turn upside down Yahweh's ways on this earth, which is practically everything we have going today. We're not doing anything right. We're not dating correctly. We're not choosing our mates correctly. We're not marrying correctly. We don't have a biblical family. We don't raise our children properly. We don't have an education system worth a damn. We don't have a government worth a damn. We don't have a banking institution worth a damn. We don't have a media worth a damn. for a group of people who call themselves, quote, Christian or believers in the God of the Bible, for a land that professes this and has so many whitewashed sepulchers called churches, how come we have so little of God's law being applied in our world today? I'm asking a question. Are you formulating an answer? Picture me standing in front of you right now. Why, after I gave you this land and all of its opportunities, all of its natural resources, all of its wisdom, all of its good, hard-working Caucasian Israelite people, how in the hell did you let it become what it is today? I'm just saying. Picture the Father standing in front of you. 2,000 years he did it as Yeshua. Got about the same results. Not too many people paid attention. They didn't even believe who he was. And we have the same conditions today. Most people aren't really believers. If they believed that there was a judgment coming for their bad behavior, they would behave differently. They don't believe it. The Jew has done his magic. Through control of the entertainment and media, they have killed Yeshua. They have killed Yahweh God. In your minds, they have killed him because they've told you he doesn't exist. Or they've told you, what can he give you when I've got all of these electronic shekels that I can bribe you with, and I can buy these little electronic gadgets and toys and jewelry and clothing? Look what I can give you. What can Yahweh give you? That was all it took for most of our people. I mean, and if you don't think that's possible, take a look at the past 2.5 years. All it took to get people to become completely retarded. I mean, 100% retarded. Putting a useless cloth across their faces as if it was protecting them. Putting useless masks in front of their faces, causing great harm to themselves. And yet they did it, and they're still doing it. People in the medical profession knowing damn well this was a lie, yet going along with it because they got electronic shekels. So don't tell me it's not possible. We've seen it for almost 3 years now. How easy it is to dupe the average person. How easy it is to get them to do nefarious things to themselves and their loved ones. Oh my God. How many of our senior citizens and even other people in hospitals died without family around them because of this monstrous lie and deception? Jeremiah 4, verse 22. For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are foolish children. And they have no understanding. They are skillful in doing evil, but they do not know how to do good. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. You wonder why? Because Jeremiah's job was to say the exact condition of our people. Unbelievable. So let me read, or I should say, let me play The Journey Home for you here real quick. As soon as I can get it to
I'd like to read you an email I just received. I'm on a pastor's mailing list, and he sends these letters out periodically from some of the people who send him letters. And this woman writes these little essays, these emails, and once in a while they kind of ring a bell. And this one did for me. She wrote it about a man. But I'm going to change it because I wouldn't. But really, it's about everyone we know. she begins. If you don't jump on this train, I'll have to leave you at the station. I once said those words to someone I deeply loved. I tried to explain this was not a train that I could get off from. It's not a journey that could be stopped. Once you're on it for life. The destination is evolution. And as you evolve, you realize there is actually no single destination, simply each step traveled in the right direction. Well, as much as I tried to make them see, they couldn't understand. In their mind, there was no reason for the journey to begin with. And what on earth was I talking about? Everything is just fine where we are. What train? What journey? A journey to where? And so, as my metaphorical train started moving, I had to leave them behind at the station, where they are all still at. All of our old friends, our family members, our co-workers, everyone we once knew who couldn't or wouldn't get on this train. They're still at that station, in that cobwebbed station, where everyone is vaccinated. They all wave blue and yellow flags. Bill Gates is a wonderful philanthropist trying to save us all, and everything is Putin's fault, they say. And do you know that station? And that station is so far behind me now that I can no longer see it. In fact, I can't even remember who I was when I first stepped on that train. There have been so many ups and downs, twists and turns, that you lose track of the distance traveled. But like many of you, I've come a long way, and despite the roughness of the terrain, I still look forward to each mile of this journey. And who wouldn't want to be on a journey that makes you better and smarter, more courageous, stronger, more empowered, independent, understanding, and even empathetic? And in a way, proud. Proud of the steps taken, proud of the lessons learned, and the choices decisively made. This is a journey about discovering the world around us. What it really is. About ourselves and what we really are, and ultimately and most importantly, about God. So to those that choose not to grow with us and get on the train, I am deeply sad for them. But we can only wish them well and continue to care about them from a distance. We may think about them from a distance. And the question is, will they ever catch up? I mean, there's trains coming along all the time. They can always get on one and begin their journey. But I don't think they can ever really catch up with us on our train, because we're over there. We're so farther ahead. But it's still on the right track. It's in the right direction. So the answer is, they may not catch up with us, but they may join us on the right track. The important thing is, though we may look back, we can never go back.
Okay, there we go. I hope you liked that. Again, that was put together by Andy up in Canada. Very good. And I'm going to play a little song that was put out some time ago. I think it's been around on the internet quite a bit, but very apropos for where we are today. So I'll play that here in just a few. Yeah, they may not catch up. If they're on the right track, they'll get to the same destination, maybe at a different point or a different time than us, but many are not even on the train, on the track. They're not on the right track. It's sad. It is so sad what we see going on today. It's just, I don't know, it still boggles my mind. It still boggles my mind that so many can be so easily corrupted. We have no backbone. We have no strength of character, I guess, is the only thing I can think of. I want to go to Titus chapter 2. I don't usually go to Paul's writings all that much because that's a source of contention with so many. And there are so many mistranslations in Paul's work. But every now and then, it sort of fits perfectly. So chapter 2, but say the things which fit sound doctrine, that older men or seniors, elders, should be temperate, sensible, sober-minded, sound in faith, in love, and in perseverance. Okay, so that's quite a list there, men, especially you older men. I wonder why the youth are so screwed up. Where are the older men as leaders? Verse 3, and that older women likewise be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, nor enslaved too much wine, teachers of that which is good, that they may train the young wives to love their husbands, to love their children. Let me stop there before we get to verse 5. To love their husbands, to love their children. You know how we know that we're in the area of everything being upside down? I labeled this portion alienation of affection because so many people I talk to almost on a daily basis are talking about suffering from what has been termed alienation of affection. Many of us suffer from that alienation because the natural order of things has been turned off. Just as Andy said in that reading of The Journey Home, many are not even on the train, let alone on the right track. They haven't even got on a train. They are dispossessed of basic humanity. These are the times that we live in. And so the elder ladies in the day would train the young wives to give love and obedience to their husbands. The husband is the head of the household. That is Yahweh's hierarchy. Whether you like it or not, that is the way it's supposed to be. But we have lost that natural affection. There is an alienation of affection from wives to their husbands and consequently from husbands to wives. It takes two to make it work, but it also takes two to break it. So both husbands and wives have alienated their affections and also the love of children, both ways, particularly from the young to the elders. There is a severe lack of affection. And so again, we're talking here of the training of the younger wives, starting in verse 5, to be sober-minded, chaste, C-H-A-S-T-E, chaste, I hope everybody knows what that means, workers at home. You see, the enemy's crept in and not too many women even consider staying at home and doing the duties of a wife to be okay. And they've got 1,000 excuses. I've heard them all through my lifetime of women, why they have to be in the workplace. Oh, men don't do the job for me. I want independence. I want a career. I can't trust my man. No, what they can't trust is that they can keep a man happy enough to take care of them. That's what they don't trust. You see, when you boil all the rhetoric and all of the bullshit away, that's really what's at the bottom of it. The woman does not want to have to earn the affections of her husband and his covering and his support. That's what they don't want. They want it all without having to provide any of that. Just take a look around and tell me I'm wrong. Workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands. That Yahweh's word may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the younger men to be sober-minded. In all things, show yourself an example of good works. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, incorruptibility, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, that he who opposes you may be ashamed. I've seen that in action, by the way, that verse. People that try to condemn and oppose you, but if you maintain the high road, they end up looking like fools. Having no evil thing to say about us, exhort servants to be in subjection to their own masters. This is not the slave-master relationship that the movies produced by Jews put out in your mind. Many people are servants. In fact, the word in the Greek language for a servant here applies to wives and children as well. It just means somebody who is under or subject to somebody else in authority. That's what it really means. And to be well-pleasing in all things, not contradicting, not stealing. Oh boy, our people have a huge problem with that one. By the way, the definition of stealing also applies to using people's property without their permission. So even though you put it back in the closet, you put it back in the tool shed, you put it back in the yard, if you took it and used it without permission, you stole it. But showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of Yahweh God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of Yahweh has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Now, Anthropos, talking about our race, teaching us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we would live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. Say these things and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one despise you. Hallelujah. Proverbs 27:17. Have you heard this one before? Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Are you paying attention out there, you lions? Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Our people are so butthurt, so triggered so easily today, it's hard to find iron being sharpened by iron. Because as soon as a man starts feeling that somebody else is trying to critique him or help him understand something better, his ego steps in the way. So it's tough for iron to sharpen iron when the one set of iron is so butthurt, it's more like lead. It's just pushed over and bent in any direction you want. There is no backbone. There is no strength of character. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. That's why we're to guard what comes in our eyes and ears. That's how the enemy knew. See, the enemy reads these things, not because they want to worship the living God or to bring better things to life. They read these verses to find our weaknesses. They read it for strategies. that they might subvert us and deceive us. Just like the media now and the chemicals and the poisons put into our bodies, whether through injections or by the food and water. And also alcoholic beverages now. You got to be careful of those. I'm telling you, we're at that point where if you don't make it, you'd better be very careful about where you're getting anything today, whether you consume it as a liquid or as food. You better be careful. I wanted to go into 1 Timothy chapter 2 a little bit too. I exhort therefore, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men. Again, anthropos, Adamic man. For kings and all who are in high places, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life. Do you feel like you're in a tranquil and quiet life today, folks? Yeah, it's because you let the wicked rule over you. And quiet life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of Yahweh God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. That is universal. That saving has nothing to do with our family. It's got to do with soter in the Greek language, meaning prevent harm, just like as a naturopath, a naturopath or holistic practitioner, you want all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. Food is our medicine, and medicine is our food. We want everybody to know that. For there is one Elohim God, and one mediator between God and men, the name Yahshua HaMashiach, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony in his own times, to which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth in Yahshua Christ, not lying, a teacher of the non-Judahites in faith and truth. Oh yeah, your English Bible put this Gentile in there. Doesn't belong in there, just like the word Jew doesn't belong in there. Translate it correctly. A teacher of those not in Palestine, not at the area where Christ walked, Israelites in other lands. I desire, therefore, that the men in every place pray, lifting up holy hands, without anger and doubting. In the same way that women also adorn themselves in decent clothing. Whoa! In decent clothing! Boy, that's a joke. With modesty and propriety? Not just with braided hair, gold, pearls, or expensive clothing, but with good works, which is appropriate for women professing godliness. Whoa! We're way off the mark there. Let a woman learn in quietness with full submission. Oh, rats. I guess Paul didn't realize that the Jewish feminist movement was at play here for the latter days. Paul, what the hell are you trying to tell us here? Women learn in quietness with full submission? Oh, Paul, please. Surely you don't mean that. We've been liberated. The Jew has come in and dismantled our whole institution of marriage and family. It's so much better today, Paul. Why would you put that in there? Oh. Verse 12, but I do not permit a woman to teach nor to exercise authority over a man, but to be in quietness. Oh, my gosh, Paul, we're going to have to send you back to obedience school, you poor soul. There's a good center right down the road, the B'nai B'rith recommends it. Paul, we're going to have to dig you up, resurrect you, and send you to the B'nai B'rith school of proper teaching, because you obviously don't get it. Women have been liberated, Paul. Please. They don't need this nonsense of a patriarchy. Come on. Just look at the women in powerful positions today and how much better the world is. Look at leaders such as New Zealand's hag, or the state of Michigan's hag, or New York's hag, or the hags in Washington, D.C., all over the place. Hags, Paul, please. These liberated women have made it such a better place to live with their natural affinity for compassion. Oh, wait a minute. No, they don't have compassion. They don't have foresight. They don't have common sense. They're exactly what Yahshua said of them. They are weak-willed women and effeminate men that the satanic Jew keeps under their thumb. I guess, Paul, you just don't get it, do you? For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, has fallen into disobedience. But she will be saved through her childbearing, if they continue in faith, love, and sanctification with sobriety. Go down to the local bars and discotheques and see the beauty of our women as they walk around either high on drugs or stoned out of their minds. Or drunk on liquor. Oh, but I have a career. I don't want to raise a child. That would tie me to the house. I want to go out and have fun. Have we heard that before? I'll tell you, we are in serious, serious trouble. Another little tidbit in my notes for today are two things that we are told don't matter, but oh, but they do. And that one is holding people accountable for their actions. It starts with the person in the mirror, by the way. Hold that person accountable for their actions. Then hold your family accountable for their action, your wives and children. Then hold your local government officials, your local preachers accountable for their actions. And the criminals out there, hold them accountable for their actions according to God's word, not man's. But you see, we don't hold anybody accountable because God is dead. The Jews told us so. So it must be true, right? The other great lie, of course, and deception for the day is race does not matter. Really? So all these books I have on my shelf over here, they're wrong? All these books about eugenics and anthology of racial issues, all these books that describe what happens when you violate the laws of nature, all these books are wrong because some kike told me so? Some deceiving antichrist Jew? Well, damn, but he has to know, because look how many electronic shekels he has in his pockets. He's got trillions of electronic shekels to give you. It doesn't matter that they're just digits in a computer. There's no actual real money. There's no species. But Dan, he's got trillions of them. They're in his computers. And the Jews own the computers that house the digits of the electronic shekels. So they must be right. Right, Dan? Don't you get it, Dan? You're just some poor farm boy from Pennsylvania. What the hell do you know? Well, yeah, you're right. I am a poor farm boy from Pennsylvania, and I've returned to being poor. But what's that got to do with the truth? What's that got to do with the truth? Just because Jews came up with this whole Babylonian money scheme that allows them to generate computer digits and they're able to buy your hotels, your factories, your farms, your cathedrals, your education system, buy off all of your government at state and local level and federal levels, buy off all your media whores, buy off all the seminary whores, buy off all the preaching whores, They came up with this system right out of hell. The Bible calls it this mercantile system, the merchants. And yet, your preacher isn't warning you. And you don't have enough sense to read it and be warned of yourself. Instead, you got people walking around like complete zombies. Oh, I just sold the family business for 3 times what it's worth. Really? Yeah, my business was worth like $50 million. And this Jew came in and gave me a piece of paper offering me 150 million electronic shekels for it. Didn't I do well? Well, yeah, and he's going to fire all the Christian men and women that worked in there, and he's going to replace them with all of these dark races coming in. But that's okay. You got 3 times what it's worth of his electronic shekels. But, hey, dumbass, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do when the Jew pulls the rug out from underneath your feet, you stupid asshole? What are you going to do when they pull the plug on this whole fake, phony digital system that they've created? What are you going to do when you've got 150 million electronic shekels that vaporize? Are you going to look so smart and smug then on your yacht or that overly big house that you bought on a big piece of property and you're walking around like you're King Tut? Because you've got all these electronic shekels that the Jew gave you? How smug are you going to be when they vaporize? Because you know damn well that's the Jew plan, right? Greenspan told you that many years ago, the kike at the Federal Reserve. All the Federal Reserve heads have been kikes. Oh, but that's just coincidence, Dan. There's no nefarious activity going on here. Please. It's just coincidence. But besides, they're so smart and good with money. Hey, let me tell you something. If you let me generate electronic shekels on my computer and you're willing to give me your houses, your cars, and sometimes even some members of your family because I give you digits out of my computer, I could look pretty damn smart with money too. If you're going to be that stupid that I can give you some electronic digits and trade me your labor or your property for them. That's all the Jew did. They came up with a system in 1913. Read The Creature from Jekyll Island. If you have not read that book, shame on you. Bunch of Jew bankers got together and figured out a scheme over 100 years ago on how they could rob us blind. And they've been getting away with it. Because you've been lied to by your prostitutes behind the pulpit and your prostitutes in your so-called man-made government. How's that working out for you? How many of the founding fathers do you see in government at any level? And by that I mean, how many WASPs, W-A-S-P, how many WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, how many non-Catholic, white Anglo-Saxon men do you see in government today? Not too many. Gee, does that mean we've been conquered? Pretty much. All right, I'm going to play a little ditty for you here.
When there's nothing left but the fire in my chest and the air that fills my lungs, I'll hold my tears and trade my ears for a glimpse at kingdom come. On the other side of misery, there's a world we long to see. The strife we share will take us there to relief and sovereignty.
Oh, my God, we'll have our home again. My God, we'll have our home. By blood or sweat, we'll get there yet. My God, we'll have our home.
In our own towns, we're foreigners now. Our name
spat and cursed. The headline smack of another attack, not the last and not the worst. Oh, my fathers, they look down on me. I wonder what they feel to see their noble sons driven down beneath a coward's heel.
Oh, my God, we'll have our home again.
They strain to see. I struggle forth to find a friend to light the way for me. Oh, brothers, can you hear my voice, or am I all alone? If there's no fire to guide my way, then I will start my own.
Oh, my God, we'll have our
little ditty there for you. By God, we'll have our home again. It's funny, the Adamic man was put here. He was given a commission by the Almighty himself to tend my garden. Now, do you think it was just a little garden in a place called Eden, or do you think it was this earth? I vote for this earth. Because the Adamic man has been all over this earth for at least 7 to 8,000 years. Evidence of that is being found constantly by archaeologists. If you don't believe that, just look up Kennewick Man in Washington State in the United States and how the authorities tried desperately to stop the anthropologists and researchers from analyzing this near-perfect mummy that was found along the Kennewick River in Washington State. And yet, they did not succeed, and upon examination, it was proven that this was a Caucasoid, or Caucasian man, from 7 to 8,000 years ago. In fact, when a computer regenerated what this man might have looked like, he looked a lot like Patrick Stewart of Star Trek, the commander of the USS Enterprise. Very similar, not identical, but similar. The point of it is that science, true science, not this facsimile of science that the Jew creates, which with their magic and their sophistry, but the true science backs up common sense and reality. The biblical archaeologist, Stephen Collins, who is from Royal Oak, Michigan, by the way. Royal Oak, I love that. Mishkan, a Hebrew word meaning sanctuary. He wrote in his books about the preponderance of evidence all over North America of our ancient ancestors, the Israelites from the Mediterranean area, during the era of King David and Solomon, that were here in trireme sailing vessels. And trireme means three layers of that ship with just rowers. That's how big they were and how powerful they were. And that was almost 3,000 years ago. Trireme ships coming from Mediterranean to North America to harvest timber, precious metals, and other metals such as copper ore from the lakes of, from the shores of Lake Michigan and Lake Superior. Okay, evidence. We have evidence of that. So all of this nonsense that's being pushed down our throats about the indigenous red man and how the white man stole it and everything else, most of the people who settled the center part of the United States and eastern part of the United States were Israelite tribesmen. Your Jewish made-up history says that they were, quote, Indians. No, they weren't Indians. They were fellow Celtic peoples from Europe who stayed here rather than returning to Europe after they came here to colonize and harvest the things that we mentioned going back over on the trireme ships. They decided to stay. It was a pleasant land. Obvious with all of its wooded areas, mountains, freshwater streams, etc. Why would they not want to stay? That's in our nature. We're explorers. We build kingdoms. We build civilization. And again, Charles Murray in his book, Human Accomplishment, brings many of the details of our accomplishments to light. And when you read the book, you realize that 98% of what we call civilization today was created by our race. So it's pretty obvious that our race will do quite nicely if there are no other races here at all. If every other non-white race disappeared tomorrow, the white man would live in bliss and harmony. That doesn't mean I hate them. Obviously not. Doesn't mean that they don't have a place in this world. I don't particularly care for mosquitoes, but they have a place here. If I could eradicate all mosquitoes, I would not do it, because Yahweh created them and they have a purpose. Okay, they're an annoyance to me, but that doesn't mean they don't have a purpose. All right, the non-white races amongst white people are an annoyance. That's just a fact. And don't hand me the one out of a thousand that behaves himself. Don't. No. I live in an area of the country where the white man is now down somewhere close to 10%. 10% in America. 10% white. It may even be lower now, but it's only about 10%. So I get to see every day of my life what these other races are like when they are the majority. When they sit in all of the governmental positions in the towns and the counties around me. So don't hand me this garbage that the Jew idea of a conglomerate of races and diversity works, because it doesn't. I live amongst it every day. Like I said, it does not work. It's falling apart left and right. Just as this nation is falling apart, this world is falling apart, because again, you do not want to listen to our Father in heaven. You will do anything to not have to obey him. Literally anything, even if it hurts you, even if it's stupid, even if it's nonsensical, you'll do it. Stiff-necked Israelites will do it because they just don't want to listen. They want to make their own decisions. Or as one man told me one day, I don't want to hear about God's food laws. I want to eat whatever I want to eat. I just looked at him and I said, sir, you can eat anything you want. I am not going to stop you. I don't really even care what you eat. I'm just simply telling you, your body was not made to digest those foods, because not only does the Bible tell you they're unclean, naturopathy says they're unclean, holistic medicine says they're unclean, and the fact that you're joints and organs of your body are going to shut down prematurely, says that they're unclean. But you're too goddamn stupid and stiff-necked to listen, aren't you? So you just keep eating that shit. And when you're in the hospital dying, don't call me for comfort or consolation or, God forbid, a donation for your hospital bills, because I'm not giving you any of the above. That I can do. Yahweh says, I give you my gifts. I put them on the table. Truth, knowledge, wisdom. I put them on the table and you just let them sit there. You don't apply them in your life. Well, Dan, you know, we only go around once, and you know, I want to experience everything I want to experience. I want to try out these other races and the women, and I want to try out all these different alcohols and different drugs, and I want to travel. Yeah, okay, I got to put the poison in my body, but I want to be able to fly and see other countries. Dan, I only go around once. Really? You actually think that? Well, then you do exactly what you're doing. You can live in your fantasy world if you want, but you'll pay a price. It's sad. Just as that song said in that reading by Cliff. It's sad. It's so easy to see, and yet so few want it. Unbelievable. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We are ashamed of where we've come and what we have become. We are ashamed that our ancestors, recent ancestors, looked the other way when Satan's kids came in and gave them a few bribes and they turned and looked away. We're ashamed of ourselves and the fact that we don't fight harder for what's right. We don't protect the innocent. We don't protect our women and children. We don't protect our family or our institutions. And all suffer. The whole world is in travail, just as the prophets would say. Because we, the sons of the Most High, can't get our act together. We can't stop bickering and fighting amongst ourselves. We can't decide on it who to be leaders. Everybody wants to be a chief, Father. Nobody wants to be a worker or an Indian. Everybody wants to be the chief. And so we go further and further into the abyss, and the enemy laughs all the way to the synagogue on what fools we are and how easy it is to rape, slaughter, and rob us. It looks like you're the only one that can turn us around at this point, Father Yahweh. And those of us who call upon your name ask that you would please do that. Enough of this nonsense. If our people will not call upon your name at this point with things this ugly, then take this world out. If we must be taken out with it, so be it. But put an end to this misery. This torture of humanity under this yoke of oppression by these monsters in shoe leather. We beg of you, Father Yahweh, put an end to it. Raise up your sons, the few that remain, the lions amongst our people. Raise them up, Father Yahweh. Lead an army of righteous men with them to put an end to this nonsense and to bring your law upon this earth. We ask and pray in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Who can say, without mistrust, that time can heal the past? Who can live without the rust that settles in at last? Who can score the battle scars, whether lost or won, and remain without remorse for the damage done? who indeed is ever full, finished, or complete, while the need of reckoning lies beneath the sheet. Fortunes favor providence, so the poets say. Wisdom gains where ignorance has to look away. Men and mediocrity have a common range, seeing very nearly all very seldom change. Facts and fascination sway equal in defense, following the earthly trail left in consequence, marking our meanderings, measuring the good, weighing the indifferences whereupon we stood. Though a time in heaviness may be unrelieved, fortune's favor providence may be yet believed. Passing routes and thoroughfares very seldom show where they may or mayn't lead. Lessons, who can know?
Is the mountain too high that you're trying to climb, or the road too rough that you want to give up? I remind you today what the word would say. You gotta stand still. Wait for the rock of your salvation. He'll give you strength to climb, renewed mind you'll find in the time of your desperation. Remember Abraham and Sarah, his wife, were given a promise to have a son in their life. You know he staggered not at the promise of God. He just stood still. Waited for the rock of his salvation. He claimed those things that were not, he had not forgot, in the middle of deliberation. The thought I leave you today, Yahweh, will make a way if you don't give up. When the times get tough, just speak to that mountain. He gives strength from the fountain. You gotta stand still. Wait for the rock of your salvation. He'll be your sword and your shield. Your faith will be healed. He's the master of all creation. The end.
To correct your ways, to set apart a people who would demonstrate my holiness to all. Because you are the seed of my friend Abraham, I will help you. Journey, you'll have ample time to take the law into your own hands and read it into the night. Take the law into your own hands and hold on to it tight. See the words that have been written there, the sin will keep us apart. I will write those precious words into your minds and in your hearts. Oh, don't you dare believe the law has passed away, or that you can obey it all, for the schoolmaster disciplines my sons. In spite of what they say, the law is good for you. Just get into the boat where the passengers await for her to run. I'll be station. Here's my compass and the helm and steer. Here's my compass.
Resistance. For the blood of our fathers, by the seed of our sons, by the blades of our knives, and by the bullets in our guns, by the fire burning deep inside, the ancestral claim to land. We shall fight the good fight till the end, down to the final battle.
By the splendor of the rising sun.